Christmas time. And we are going to be thinking this morning about Christmas. Some of you will know that one of our sons-in-law is Jewish. Not a problem, because when they come to us, and they're going to be coming this Christmas, David actually looks forward to coming here on Christmas morning, along with all the rest of the family who also come, and so we'll all be here on Christmas morning, 16 of us, and also, if they are over in time, to come to the crib service as well. I think this is deliberate. Okay. Am I still in with you?
Yes.
Oh, good. So David looks forward to it. And coming to the crib service, one of the reasons why he loves coming to the crib service is because he hears the Christmas story, the Nativity. I have to say, there was one year when they came over and it was changed. We didn't do it. And he felt really cheated. Interesting, isn't it? You see, this is coming from not a Christian, but a Jew. Don't think he's silly, he's not. He's a lawyer. And he missed not hearing the Christmas story. Partly, I think, because in the Jewish tradition, storytelling is a really important part. And so David is always very happy coming along and hearing that news about Christmas. And for him, it starts to make Christmas. And so as we were sitting here this morning, I thought it would be quite good to find out what makes Christmas for you. What gets you feeling Christmassy? So one of the things that while you're thinking about that, that I enjoy, or gets me thinking about Christmas, are mince pies. I love mince pies. I do resist eating them through the year. And so when it gets round to sort of Advent-ish, mince pies coming in, wonderful. Mince pies, Christmas, yes. Very good news. So, what gets you feeling Christmassy? And I suppose nobody is speaking. Caroline, what gets you feeling Christmassy?
What? Going to buy the tree together as a family.
Oh, standing by the tree together as a family. Brilliant, yes, the tree. Great news. What else, Brenda?
I'll tell you what made my Christmas this year. Was going round to the OK Place, and Rosie and David there as well. And putting up a Christmas tree with them for the first time. And the joy on their faces, and not just that, but our Nene was jumping. And it started my Christmas to see the joy. So thank you, Max, to share that. So my Christmas has started.
Well done. Christmas trees, decorations around the Christmas tree as a family. What else?
Carols?
Yeah, thank you. Carols are lovely. Yes, I'm sure we all have favourite carols. See him lying on a bed of straw is rubbish. Away to manger. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, fantastic. I tell you, if we don't get our little town of Bethlehem over this Christmas time, there's going to be trouble. Carols, yes, they really hit the mark, don't they? It's wonderful. Carols are good too. So we've got mince pies, we've got carols, we've got Christmas tree with lights and so on, and all standing round as a family, so that family connection as well. Anything else?
The Advent candles.
The Advent candles. Okay, the Advent candles, again, part of the preparation towards Christmas, isn't it? Part of the preparation, also really important, that lead-up, not just Christmas Day, but in some ways the lead-up is as important. The Advent candles help to remind us of that and remind us of Christmas is coming ever nearer. Panic not. So there'll be a whole lot of other things. There'll be Christmas cards, won't there? Family, as we said. Christmas pudding and what have you, and everything that goes with it. Fantastic. A really warm feeling it gives us, doesn't it? There's a warm glow inside when we start thinking about these sort of things. So let me share something with you and tell me how Christmassy you think this is. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? That's a great Christmas message, folks, isn't it? You can think of the Queen giving this, or can't you? All right? You know, we're all expecting, waiting to hear what the Queen is saying, and she said, you brood of vipers. Now, it might be Donald Trump saying, you losers. Or it might be Theresa May, actually. She might be saying something like that. But it doesn't really smack of Christmas, does it? You know, it sort of jars a wee bit. And yet, you know, there is part of that message which lies at the very heart of Christmas. Now, I just want to tease that out this morning and see how that works. So, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? John the Baptist's words, you remember. You know, the Bible sets out what the human condition is. In other words, it describes all human beings. And it does it in this way. Whether they're alive today, whether they were alive in the past, or whether they're still yet to be born. And what it says is this. And this is from Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No exceptions. Never have been in the past, neither in the present, nor in the future. It doesn't matter what race you come from, what your faith is, what colour you are. We're all in the same boat. Basically, what the Bible is saying is we are losers. We are losers because there is a terrible consequence to this, which it also sets out. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, we read, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. So the consequence of sinning is death. And don't for one moment think that, well, I'm a bit better than that person. Because quite often you see the Bible talks about sin as in missing a target. So if Mark and I and Peter were, say, firing at a target at the end of church, say, down that way. And we're going to fire arrows. And we're aiming for the bull, the very centre of the target, the gold. And Peter goes first, because he's the rector. And he fires, and his arrow, it's a pretty good shot, but it's about that far away from the centre. Mark is up second, and he is a very, very good shot. And he's just that distance from the centre. I step up expecting to beat them, because I'm better than they. And I fire. And I just about get on the outside ring of the target. You know, I've missed by that much. Mark has missed by this much, Peter by that much, and I that much. They're better than me, but we've all missed it. We've all missed it. That's what the Bible is talking about with sin falling short of God's glory, we've all missed it. And the consequence is death. But God loves us. And God doesn't want us to die. So God chooses to take that punishment, death, himself. But God has a problem with that. What's the problem? Oh, I'm gonna have to, I haven't got the microphone, so I'm gonna have to come up. Thank you very much, Linda. That's actually that's a very good theological point there, actually. Yeah, you're absolutely right. He is. And that, in a sense, is a problem. But there's another problem that God has. What's the other problem?
He's not man.
Thank you, David. Yes, indeed. Yep, absolutely spot on. God is immortal. God cannot die. He's not man. So the only way for God's escape plan, as it were, for us to work, is for God to take human flesh, to be born as a baby. Christmas time. What we're thinking about, the birth of Jesus. God becoming man, the incarnation is the technical word. God becoming man. And he's doing it in order to die. And he grows up through adolescence and through early adulthood until in his 30s he's put to death on a cross. And you might remember that John in his gospel recording the crucifixion tells us that just the very moment before Jesus actually dies, he cries out, and the word is used is tetelestai. It is finished, or it is paid in full. There's a word sometimes used in financial transactions. So, for example, if I borrow £1,000 from Chris as our treasurer, and we write out an IOU, Richard Webb owes Chris £1,000. When I get my pension, I'm then hopefully in a position to repay it. So I go back to Chris with my £1,000 and pay it. And he then takes that IOU and he draws a line through it and writes tetelestai, paid in full. That's the words that Jesus used on the cross. Paid in full. Our debt, our sin, paid in full. Years ago, the prophet Zephaniah, talking to God's people, tells them to sing, to shout, to be glad and to rejoice, because God has taken away your punishment. You know, those are those same words we can use every Christmas, as it reminds us of the first part of God's escape plan. God becoming a baby, human baby in order, in the fullness of time, to die for us so that we can live forever and not die. So John the Baptist's words, in a sense, contain that sort of warning that we are in a desperate state. But praise be to God, because he has dealt with that and has given us this escape plan, not just us, but for every single person who ever lived in the past, whoever lives now, whoever lives in the future, that by trusting in him, he pays the price that we should be paying. He dies for us and is born for us to do that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you again for this Christmas time, as we remember your wonderful saving action for us. Thank you that you love us so much that you were born on this earth to be our saviour. And Lord, as we just think through the implications of that this Christmas time for us and for our friends and for our family, we pray that we, as God's people, might rejoice in your love and your mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done for each and every one of us. Amen.
Thank you, Richard. We're going to respond in praising God again, and just take a look at some of these words. O great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart. We've just heard about how God became flesh in Jesus Christ and died for us. We need to invite him in to occupy our heart, to enjoy the benefits. So let's praise God now in this wonderful song.